Morning, church. How are we? Excited to be here. Freedom in the Lord. Come on. Bit of joy. Woo! Sorry, I'm excited. Maybe because I'm going to be a dad soon. I don't know. I'm just excited. Isn't it good to be here? I just want to thank our musicians because they come early. They get here early. They rehearse. It sounds beautiful, like the music. They just bring amazing music. And I'd also like to just honor all the volunteers here this morning. So can we just, come on, like all the people who do the welcome desk, the coffee, just everyone. I mean, it doesn't happen without you. So who had a good Valentine's Day on Friday? Anyone? Anyone go out and have a romantic candlelight dinner? We did not do that. We had youth on and it was awesome. Anyway, I digress. I'm just saying hi. Hello. So this morning I want to talk about... Wow. That's an amazing graphic. Yesterday, today, and forever. So I shared a little bit about this on Friday, but it's the verse from... Who knows this verse? Anyone tell me? Starts with a H. Hebrews 13:8. Very good. Well done. But you know, we live in an incredible time, don't we? If we think about it. I mean, if we think about how much the world has changed. I mean, who knows? Let's go through a little bit of a history kind of lesson here. Who knows what the Industrial Revolution is? Yeah. Okay. So like steam engines were invented. It revolutionized the way we live. We have things like telephones that were invented, yes? You remember, like, no, there was telephones before the dial, like, you know, the, you know, and then everyone knows what I'm talking about, yeah? Except for my generation and, like, the ones who are younger. So that revolutionized the way we live. What about the Reformation with Martin Luther? That's pretty revolutionary, right? Think about that. If he never translated the Bible into German, we would not have the Bible. And that only happened, like, not too long ago. What about the invention of the printing press? Revolutionary, right? There's been wars, World War I, World War II, a lot of loss of life. Who remembers the Berlin Wall, the coming down of the Berlin Wall, 1989? Just, I wasn't born, but, like, I remember learning about it. But pretty crazy stuff, right? So we have all these different movements. So then we get to the 60s and the 70s. Who knows what happens there? We got these things called like the hippies. And they're just like, hey, dude, chill out. Peace and love. Have a doobie, bro. And then you have the band called the Doobie Brothers. And they come out and they're just like, Jesus is just all right with me. Nobody knows what I'm... Okay. People know the Doobie Brothers, right? It's such a great band. Okay, and then we got the 70s, and then we got, like, some of the greatest bands start to, like, get really famous, like Led Zeppelin. No Zeppelin fans. Neil Young, Bread, all these kind of great bands. Everyone from my generation and below is like, what is going on? But here's the thing. There are so many movements through history. Who remembers the 80s as well? What did the 80s bring us? Well, I think the 80s bring us hip-hop, right? Hip-hop kind of took off in the 80s, and who could forget the invention of spandex? Anyway, there's many movements throughout history that have actually shaped and pioneered our culture. So they shape and pioneer the culture of the day. And I just want to say, I believe that there's a new church rising up, that there is a church that is passionately in love with Jesus and people, a church that shines light and stays true to his word. Amen? All right, maybe we should pray. I'm getting way too excited. Lord, we just thank you just for everything you're doing here at Church in the Marketplace. Lord, we just come before you right now and we just ask that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit. Lord, that this wouldn't just be some empty sermon or just empty words, but Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just move through this and speak to people's hearts, and it would just be, yeah, it would just do something on the inside of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Awesome. Okay, so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. But here's the thing, you know, it's kind of interesting that this was brought up, you know, this whole thing about mental health. See, I'd like to, well, the research actually shows that we are living in a day and age where anxiety is actually on the increase. It's actually becoming more and more, it's getting bigger and bigger. Isn't that interesting, huh? It's on the rise. Every year, there is more people who are becoming anxious. And every generation has its threats, right? I mean, our generation might not be facing a war. Or we might be, I don't know. But I'm not going to get into all of that. Who knows? Anyway. But our generation, like, and the ones after my generation, we might never experience a major conflict, which is amazing. Praise God for that. But I want to say this, that we're actually living in one of the most connected times in history. So just let me get this up. This is kind of really cool. If it actually works. Hang on. Who remembers this sound? And then someone gets on the phone. Oh, Mom, you just cut off my internet connection. Okay, but here's the thing. We're living in the most connected time. Some people are looking at me like, what does that sound like? The younger ones are like, what? But that is the sound of dial-up. Yeah, we had to go through that. And it used to be like 5 minutes before you loaded like a page. And now it's like literally a second and you have a movie loaded onto your device. See, that's how fast technology is moving. So here's the thing. Where does all this stress come from? I mean, we're living in the most connected time in history, yet our generation and the ones after us feel like we aren't making any important relationships. That's what the research kind of tells us. So there's constant demands on our time and our attention, and it causes all kinds of anxiety to just, oh, you get anxious. But here's the thing, right? I like this. This is a good thing if you're taking notes. If everything is so important, it becomes difficult to decipher what's actually important. Does that make sense? So I'll say it one more time. If everything is so important, it becomes difficult to decipher what's actually important. You see, there is this thing in our world. It's this pressure that tells us we got to keep up. We got to perform in our jobs. We got to keep up with our friends at school. We got to be in with the popular crowd. Who cares about the popular crowd? I don't. I care about Jesus. You know, there's pressure to do well at school, to get into the best university. Maybe there's pressure from your siblings and your parents. I mean, I could keep going on, but there's a lot of stresses in life. And what happens when it all becomes too much? This thing called apathy starts to kind of make its way out and starts to rear its ugly head, right? And you start to have the, oh man, nothing matters anymore. Nothing's sacred. Nothing special. You become exhausted, trying to figure it all out. And you can't even figure out who you are. And instead of caring and pursuing and rising to the challenges, it becomes easier to do nothing, to keep the peace. And you literally just take yourself out of the race, and it's actually easier to just do nothing at all. That's apathy. But there's good news. There is hope. That's exciting, isn't it? There is hope. See, our world is forever changing, and and it's constantly shifting with its values and like ideologies. You just have to turn on your TV, read the paper. It's full of, the world is forever changing the, like what it thinks. And it's kind of funny because my dad used to have a business. Does anyone know what Isagenix is? Maybe like one person. Okay, yeah. So he was into that, right? And it was a big thing. The world was like, yeah, it is so healthy for you. It like gives you great energy, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out that it was just like another pyramid scheme that was a lie. And it had no health benefits. But he believed that. And that's what I'm saying. Like the world is so full of just ideas that are just made up, right? But here's the thing. We can put our hope and our trust in Jesus. Because let me say this. He has stood the test of time. He is trustworthy and he is our unchanging rock. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, I want to be real as well, right? We're going to experience a lot of change this year. I mean, he's leaving us this year. I wish he wasn't leaving. Can't you just stay? But he's leaving. I mean, we're in the process of calling a new minister. But our trust is not in the presbytery. Let me just say this. It's not in our denomination. It is not in our church council, even though we love our church council and we trust them. But our trust has got to be in Jesus. Amen? Because he says, what does he say in Matthew 16:18? He says, he will build his church. Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So Jesus will build his church. I love that. Love it. And Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. I mean, we keep hearing about that word rock, and I'm going to come to that in a minute. But I want to explore just a few things here this morning to help us. So Hebrews 13:8, if you get anything from my sermon, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the main point. But there's a few things that can help us stay the course. Okay, so if you are taking notes, I've got a few little thingos here. Okay, but the first thing we've got to do is we've got to remember our yesterday. So what do I mean by this? We got to build altars in our life. So we got to think about our faith, right? Our faith has a rich history. And it actually goes back all the way to Abraham. And many of the people who are in the Bible days, what would they do? They would build altars when God did something significant in their lives. Genesis 12:7 says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. See, an altar in the ancient world was a monument built to remember or commemorate a divine occurrence that took place at a certain location. Okay? So in ancient Israel, altars were actually so, so important. They actually symbolized communion with the Lord. And it was a place of worship, a place to remember his covenant. And the altar was a place that was approachable, where people could come and call upon the name of the Lord and remember his glorious promises. So we need to build altars in our hearts. So remember, never forget the times that God showed up for you. Cherish those moments. Never forget the faithfulness of the Lord. I mean, you might be in a hopeless case right now, but know that God is faithful and you can trust in him. I mean, here's another thing we can do. Like, connecting with people is so awesome. Like, just hearing other people's stories is just so encouraging. I mean, I love catching up with Dave Busso. He tells me some amazing stories about how God shows up. But share stories with each other. It's encouraging. It builds up your faith. Amen? Okay. So second thing is rise today. Set cornerstones. So 1 Peter 2:4-7. This is great because we went through this in Bible study on Tuesday. It says this, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Sion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. See, Jesus is our chief cornerstone, and we need to be built up with a strong foundation in the faith. I mean, come to church, that's a start. Come to young adults group, that's even better. It's not, but just come. But, or men on Monday. Peter's got a group going, men on Monday. Bible study on Tuesday, coffee and chat. There's heaps and heaps of little groups that are there to help us get a solid foundation in Christ. Amen? So find a group. Just go along. What happens when a building gets built? What's the first thing that happens? The foundation, exactly. They lay the foundation, and then the stones are laid. And it's kind of interesting because the stones ensure that the whole building is actually stable. The whole structure rests on the stones, right? And we are living, we're called to be living cornerstones, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And he tells us, upon this rock I will build my church. And Jesus builds his church, and we got to trust him. And we've also got to trust that we won't stuff it up as well. And it's kind of interesting, you know, like if I was to like just go to the wall and like take a brick out of the wall, the overall structure would actually become weaker, right? It would actually become easier for it to fall over. So we need each other, and we all have a part to play in the body of Christ. And we're called to be solid rocks in the faith. Be a solid rock in the faith. Okay, number three. We're doing all right? I'm probably like going really fast. Number three, be ready for the future. You know what you got to do? Be a solid rock, and you got to make more solid rocks. Okay, but how cool is this, right? I was just doing some research, and I came across this amazing rock. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but it's called the Petros Perdidas. I don't know if that's correct. It's, but in English, it means the rock that gives birth. Okay, so there is this rock that literally produces more rocks. So it's just a rock, and it just kind of sits there, and out of that, more rocks just start to form. Crazy, right? But anyway, I don't know. It relates, because we're called to build rocks, okay? But here's the thing. We need to be investing and producing more solid rocks of faith. So invest into the next generation. And everyone said, amen. Yeah, great, fantastic. Invest into the next generation. Host a dinner party or something. Invite young people over. Youth peeps. Younger people. Maybe it's time you start serving in kids' church, because we want to invest into the next generation. I mean, who are you bringing up in the faith? That's the question. Because Jesus commands us in the Word. He says, we are to make disciples. He actually commands us to make disciples. So who are you discipling? Who are you journeying with? And don't think you're too young to help the next, you know, group of students know about Jesus. Or don't think you're too old either. Because Jesus Christ is the constant. And he is. Like, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? So Jesus has been, he is, and always will be our hope. And I think that's really important, because Jesus is still doing what he's always done, and he will always continue to do. So what is he doing? Well, Jesus is the peace in the storm. Jesus has authority over hell, death, sin, and the grave. Jesus is still saving souls. Come on. He's still turning hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. He's still turning dry bones into life. Still adopting the orphan. Man, I love that. He's still calling the outcast and the stranger friend. Still placing the lonely in families. He's still pouring hope into hopeless situations. Still giving inspiration to discouraged creatives. I need that. Come on. He is the peace that surpasses all understanding. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is all powerful, always present, all knowing. He is the purpose your apathy has lost sight of. He's still being glorified when we lift our voices to worship him. He's still inspiring a generation of leaders to grasp the truth and proclaim to everyone they know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on. I'm preaching now. But here's the thing. I don't know how you came this morning, all right? Maybe you feel a little broken or disconnected from God. Maybe you're looking for the next trend or the next fashion to follow. But there's something that's still not satisfying in your soul. See, everybody has this thing called sin, right? We're all born into this world with sin. It's all the wrong choices that we make, the mistakes that we make, and it leaves us with that feeling of shame. And actually, it creates this separation from a holy, perfect God in heaven. But here's the, this is the good news. Jesus sent his son, Jesus, to fix our relationship with him. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died a horrible death on the cross that we deserved. And he makes it possible for us to have peace from our anxiety and apathy that our culture feeds us. Through believing in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can have a relationship with God. And it's not something we do ourselves. I mean, can I say this? Like, I just want to just, the word repent, right? I mean, we hear this a lot of times in church. But it literally means to turn, right? But sometimes I think this, I'm going to explain this. So church culture sometimes is like this. So here we are traveling the Christian life. We're like, you know, trying to, well, this is our life. We're going in this direction, right? We're doing stuff. Careers, all that stuff. And God is like over here. And sometimes we think God is kind of over here. So like we're all over there, like, you know, chasing out whatever. And God is over here like, oi, what are you doing? Why are you sinning? Stop swearing. Stop getting angry. And we're like kind of going here. We're like, and we want to keep walking, right? And God's back here like, oh, stop. Stop being silly. Stop sinning. Stop. And we're just getting further and further and further and further because we're so petrified and afraid. But here's the thing. That's not the gospel at all. You see, God came down in the shape, in the form of a human, fully God, fully man. He came down as Jesus, yes? So here we are, and then we start to see God, Jesus, in human form. And here he is, and we start to see, whoa, Jesus, you died for my sins? You died for my sins? An undeserving, whoa. And then we start to change, and it's not this other thing of God saying, oh, you got to get your life right, all of that stuff. No, Jesus comes down, and he starts to show us how to live, and then our lives start to turn. It's like this. And then, we're like, all that stuff? No way. Like, I, we want to do a 180. We want to go the way Jesus goes. That's how repentance kind of works. It's not like, I'm going to stop sinning, stop being a bad person, blah, blah, blah. That's not how it works. We got to see Jesus, and we got to follow him, and then our lives start to turn. That's kind of been my revelation this week. So I just want to leave us with that, right? Repentance, that's what repentance is. Seeing Jesus and following him. So musicians, please come and... Jesus went to the cross and died for you and for me. And when we start to see that, it actually captivates our hearts. And our hearts start to turn. And we start to have this thankfulness that just rises up. Like we start to feel overwhelmed by his great love. And our eyes, we fix our eyes on him. And our lives start to turn. And before we know it, we're going in the total opposite direction and we're following God, and we're looking the way of God.